Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 476. It's the 5th of December, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, covering Next, Persimmon, Bovis Homes, and Cape. I also have Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talking about IG Group, or IGG's ticker, Premier Oil, and Angus Energy. Also on the podcast, today's suggested one for your watchlist is Savannah Petroleum, SAVP, suggested by TID83. Thanks for that, TID. I also have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website app in the last 24 hours. There's no prizes or points for guessing which company's at number one. I'll give you a little clue. I had the CEO on the podcast yesterday, and I think he did an amazing job of explaining in an articulate way, a focused way, of the power of the sector they're in, the strategy on which they're undertaking, and the share price has reacted, looking at it today and yesterday. In fact, during the podcast yesterday, when we were recording, the share price of this company was down. It ended up the day 10% up, and it's been up about 23% a day. So this is the power of the podcast. You know, if you know of a good company and you want to spread the word, get them on the podcast, because people listen. It's a targeted listen, you know. People, that's why I like sort of my audio boom. Listen, podcasts are very targeted. The people who listen to this podcast are potential investors, you know. And I say, never buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation on this podcast. Do your own research. But it's an amazing platform to share information. So that's it. Anyway, top five most followed companies, and no prizes for guessing number one, like I said. I also have top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets app and website in the last 24 hours, or specifically this morning. And by all means, if you are on the app or website and you've seen RNS you particularly like, hit the thumbs up or thumbs down, and it may get in the top five.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com. You're right, Chris.
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Justin. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. That's right. Yeah, I don't know. I suppose when you say the first time for someone, it's fine. It doesn't matter, no matter how late in the month it is, as long as
I reckon before the 10th of January, you're on very safe ground. After then, you should have chatted to people beforehand.
Yeah, I suppose if you haven't seen anyone until, say, spring or summer, and you've seen them for the first time, it doesn't harm to say Happy New Year, does it?
I'm hoping that's not a fair reflection of your normal life, Justin.
Yeah, I know. There we are. Okay, well, do you know what I have done, actually, on Facebook? I've culled everyone, and I've only started adding people I actually meet flesh to flesh, you know, face to face. And so I've got about three friends so far of the year.
But you're doing better than me. You're doing better than me, because I don't even have a Facebook account. So there you go. That's good. One up on me. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Talking about sort of news for the year, and the FTSE now is looking quite bullish, isn't it? Up, hitting highs, record highs. What do you reckon there, Chris? Do you think we're going on?
It is. I mean, it's a pretty super start to the year in terms of if you follow the records and like momentum, FTSE 100 are kicking around all time highs. Here's the reality, though. I mean, before we even chat about Brexit and Trump and all those other big issues out there, I think 2016 was warped by the weakness of the pound, and consequently, if you take the pound's the weakness out of the equation, the impact, the positive impact that had on many FTSE stocks, FTSE would be treading water. And so the reality is, we've had this one-off massive benefit from the lower pound, boosting profitability perceptions at oil companies, mining companies, pharmaceutical companies, etc., etc. We're not going to have that tailwind, I don't think, in 2017. So my theory is going to be the year's going to be one much more mix of stock picking, and frankly, if you own a tracker fund in the FTSE 100, sell it now. Buy 5 or 10 stocks you believe in, you'll do an awful lot better.
Yeah, okay. Talking about individual stocks, we've had some news out yesterday from Next. We have some news out today from Persimmon. Let's cover Next first, because I'm just thinking, just generally, you don't need any sort of, specific, stock-picking talent to realise that Next are in a very busy field, a very busy space. The high street, since when they first started, is a lot more cluttered. Online is a lot more cluttered. They've got a lot more competition going on, and I don't think they'll ever see the highs of, like, 80-odd quid that we saw, even last year. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think that's all very, very fair points. It's clearly a competitive high street. That's even before you get to consumer debt levels, lack of real wage growth, the impact of the internet and e-commerce, et cetera, et cetera. Look, Next is the one thing in its favour, and it's a pretty shabby statement all told. Not a disastrous statement, but a bit of a shabby one. Just sales are under a bit of pressure, margins under a bit of pressure, the fall of sterling's having a little bit of an impact. You add all those things up and the profits are going to be down over the next 12 months by, let's call it, 10% odd. But the reality is Next has got two or three things going for them. The first is that it's not a high fashion brand. It's middle of the road. It's the sort of place you go to for kind of your base clothing, if you like, or your first work suit or something like that. And in that sense, I still think it has a role. The Next directory business is still cracking on all right, and they were obviously pioneers in that space. Second and third aspects are, the stock is still actually now paying a pretty decent dividend. They talked about 45 pence a quarter special div for the rest of this year. Basically, that means they're yielding 4.5% currently. That's all right. Their balance sheet's in good nick as well, so that's a positive. They're not going to go down the BHS route of horrors. And ultimately, the fact, as you aforementioned, Justin, the shares have basically halved over the last year. That actually means a bit of value is now poking its head tentatively out the parapet. So my view would be, and it is a fuller view, no doubt, my view would be, despite all of those issues and problems, actually Next stock looks all right here. Technically, you take a look at it and you've got to look at a long-term chart, 40 quid, which is where the shares are kicking around at the moment. Maybe there's some tentative support, but it's very hard to say. But that's what you want to see. My instinct is, if you buy them at £40 here, you'll be rewarded on a total return basis by the end of 2017.
Yeah, what I often look at as well is not only sort of, and I know it's quite simplistic, but it seems to work with technical analysis. You know, big round figures like 40 quid seem to, have sticking points. They have a lot of traction around those areas. But also, what I also like to look for is previous spike lows. And oddly, there was one, I mean, I don't know if this chart's correct, but there was one at around about this level. When was that? In November.
The Brexit.
One went down to 35.75, pretty much, or so £36 or around about there. So it'd be interesting to see if they test that again,
Yeah, I think those are very, very fair points. And they clearly are, if you like, some real out-of-favour support levels. So my instinct is here, you do accumulate the stock at the moment. I think it will make you money. It's not going away. It's not going bust. The high street is a tough place to be. But the reality is that sometimes when there's unfortunate low sentiment, bad sentiment events, there can be opportunities too.
Yeah. Okay, next one, Persimmon. I bought these back just after the Brexit thing because they sold off like crazy and I thought, I don't, I'm strong house builder, they were good results. I don't really see the direct, massive, short-term impact it'll have on Persimmon. And luckily, it did bounce and I made about 13, 14% off them straight away and then I sold pretty much. But I mean, now they've gone up to a sort of, they haven't got back to pre-Brexit vote levels, but they are getting back up there. They had some trading update out today. I haven't read it. What is it looking like?
Yeah, it's a short trading update, but it read well in the sense that most of the metrics were heading in the right direction. More homes sold at a higher price. They made sort of the right noises about the housing market, about opportunities in 2017. That's why the shares are up, 3-4% today. But it's kind of interesting, as you say, looking at those charts. The stock hasn't pushed through the level that we saw pre-Brexit, despite the fact that supposedly we've recovered to some extent, or at least the situations are stabilized. And I think the reality is there is a massive two-way pull on the house builders currently. Bovis Homes, another big peer of Persimmon's, had a little update just after Christmas and it was a shocker. They basically said, look, actually our December sales were a bit worse. Maybe they just pushed into 2017 and everything would be okay. But the reality is that took the top off that share. And if you look at that stock, that looks a bit sick at the moment. So, you know, it's a big two-way pull area. It does pay a dividend yield. Persimmon's got a pretty good balance sheet. But my observation on house builders and property-related stocks is that often the time to sell them is when everything is looking kind of all right, and what you've got upcoming is a more difficult period. Yeah. And the reality is, you look at the Halifax, the Nationwide, all of these boys, what they're saying is house prices are going to go up negligible amounts in 2017, actually go down in London. Persimmon aren't particularly London centre, that's good news for them. But I think the reality is, I'm a bit coy of this area, to be honest. I'm a bit shy of it. I'm going to leave it and see how it pans out. I understand why people like it. And as you say, if you're a trader, maybe there's some money to be made there. I'm just going to sit on the sidelines at the moment.
Yeah, I just saw that, you know, that macro impact of the Brexit vote. And I thought, hang on, I can't see this having a material impact on Persimmon over the next 6 months, you know. And so everything was taken down by that pretty much, you know. Sorry, and so I thought, hang on, I'm going to get in here because they're a strong balance sheet and they're not going to be affected in six months to a year anyway. And so I just saw that, you know, when you have that macro event that affects, you know, good stocks, and I think almost like the entire news, it's like a nuclear bomb just blew everything. And he thought, well, hang on a sec, you know, look through the rubble here, some good little bits of, some jewels there in the dust. Yeah. And I thought that was Persimmon. But I mean, again, I wouldn't now go for, you know, I'm not confident long term here. I just thought that one-off event was a good opportunity to jump in and then get back out when it's sort of, re-rated. But yeah, okay. So, what else are you looking at there, Chris?
So one other thing, company came out a little update today was CAPE in the sort of the oil services and related industrial space. Good little update there. They said numbers are slightly ahead of expectations, contract wins, said also some of their longer-term sort of industrial liability issues are kind of not as problematic as they previously thought. You know, put it all that together, that's pumped up to CAPE shares today quite aggressively. Mm-hmm. I don't know that stock very, very well, but here's my general thematic observation. Don't be shy or short of oil services companies in 2017. Oil prices obviously popped up a bit in 16, particularly the last 6 or 8 months. The reality is the services space is actually now circling very, very easy comps. It's an interesting space to look at. My particular pick would be Amec Foster Wheeler, which was a terribly timed combination, but actually their day in the sun will progressively start to come around. Take a look at the Hunting share price as well in the FTSE 250. For what can happen when sort of sentiment starts to turn a little bit, as it has been doing, I feel, over the last few months. So I like oil services. Amec Foster Wheeler has underperformed, and I think it will perform better in 17. That's one to be keeping an eye on. I'd actually buy some here.
Yeah, definitely. I do think, I was watching a video actually posted on Bloomberg, and it was making a very good point about the tipping point actually of oil, peak oil and all that. And they were saying, if you look at what happened, you know, last year with oil, then it wasn't a lot of oversupply that led to the downfall of oil. And they were pinpointing, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, general figures banding it around, but when will, you know, electric cars and everything have a tipping point on the oil price, you know? And they were saying around about 2023 to 25, maybe, that's when enough cars will be in production to have a general effect. And I thought, yeah, but until then, I think we are going to see a bit of a rally in the oil price and service sectors around oil price, because, you know, we've had this massive over $1 trillion now of investment pulled out of exploration from the majors. Yeah. And like I said, this doesn't come back online in a year or so. It takes 3-4 years to get these things back up and running, you know. So I think we will see a bit of a run now in oil for, you know, at least 5 years, you know. Maybe Tesla will take over then. You never know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wouldn't buy Tesla stock here, definitely. But, you know, you take a look at some of the metrics, you're right. Emerging market demand for oil is still going up. Developed market hasn't really changed so much in recent years, but it is the supply side that's kind of interesting. As you say, massive underinvestment. So hence, as you start to push through that period, the oil services companies will get a leverage benefit. You know, I own some of the big, large cap US ones. In the UK market, though, I'd say Amec Foster Wheeler, worth a look here. They've got exposure to a number of areas, including energy supply zones. One to look at. I think it's underperformed a bit rudely, and I think we'll play a bit of catch up in 17.
Marvellous, Chris. As always, nice to speak to you, and I'll speak to you next week, fella.
Absolutely, no problem. See you soon.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're right, Al.
Good morning, Jus. Happy New Year to all. Yes,
Happy
I'm very
New
good.
Year.
Apart from the old Christmas boomerang calls, we're all good. We're all fine here, thanks.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were taken out by that. I mean, our family, we had a bit of it, a bout of it. It wasn't major, but a lot of people over the last couple of months have been taken out by the colds and really big, stinky, heavy colds. You know, not the ones that you can crack on with, the kind of ones that really drag you down. But, yes, well, New Year, new drugs, Al. What are you
New Year, new drugs, yep. And hopefully we'll kick this boomerang cold into touch and move on and look forward to a prosperous 2017.
Marvellous. So what are you looking at stocks-wise, Al?
Well, three stocks have caught my eye, Jus. I'm going to go through them in order. and I will declare an interest at the outset. I wanted to just talk briefly about IG Group, IGG. Yeah. And, of course, this is everyone knows IG. IG have the benchmark system for trading, which is provided to brokers, advisory, trading derivative products, so on and so forth. It's a well-respected company, been established for many, many years in the city and is viewed as the market leader. Mm-hmm. And prior to Christmas, the company was trading at about £9. And of course, there was an announcement by the FCA that it was reviewing advertising for derivative products and would be clamping down on some of the less savoury practices. And of course, this was aimed at the companies that were trading in more lightly regulated environments such as Gibraltar and Malta and so on, advertising services over here, and obviously some punters have lost their money. But of course, it's in that one move. It's also caught IG, the market leader, and also CMC Markets too, which is also a listed entity. But IG was worth up to $5 billion, and the company's delivered steady growth over the past 4 to 5 years. You know, as an investment, it's been fantastic. And literally, on the back of that, it halved in value. Now, what's significant is that we have a trading statement at the end of January, interim results. IG said it would be working with the FCA to ensure that its own activities and industry activities were in line. I suppose you could say it's a binary bet, but I don't believe that IG will be as badly affected as the companies that the FCA is actually aiming at. Mm-hmm. And I think here we've seen the stock recover. It fell from £8.50 down through to £4.40, and it's just pushed back about £5 again. And I don't believe the company will be as badly hit as the market thinks. Certainly halving in value. I mean, that to me is a massive overreaction, a massive sell-off. And right now, you can buy the shares with 6% plus yield. So to me, it's even if you're at this level and there has been some effect, I think we've probably seen that fully priced in. So it's a great company to, I believe, put money in going forward. If nothing else, you've got a dividend yield that's going to beat inflation.
Yeah, and there's the argument here that, you know, this could almost, you know, slightly benefit them. Cause it may take out, you know, smaller competitors who take a bit of their market share. And them being the lead dog, you know, we'll get a bigger lead there. And I'm watching IG, the chart. I'm waiting for a double bottom here because, like I said, it did go down to, what did it go down? I'm looking at the chart now, 450 almost, you know.
414 today, yeah.
Yeah. And it's bounced back up to sort of, you know, like it's just over £5 there, £5.10 today. But I wouldn't mind to see a retest, you know, previous low first, and then I might have a little punt on it, really, a short to medium term punt on it. But I genuinely think, you know, a little bit oversold, but I want to see a technical, you know, confirmation there of a bottom. What else are we looking at, Al?
Okay, well, two more stocks. There was one highlighted by Vectorvest this week. It's a company called Premier Oil, which is a mid-cap, it's a small mid-cap oil producer, which is involved in the Falklands, Indonesia, UK, that's North Sea, Vietnam, and other areas. It produces over 90,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day, and in November last year, it updated on trading and reported an average production for the first half of just under 70,000 barrels of oil per day. So it was on track for full year production. And he said that the CEO, Tony Durrant, said the company was benefiting from a step change in production. And the VectorVest financial metrics picked the stock up because it dipped quite sharply in November down to 50p, and it's now recovered back to 75p. We're in the run-up to a trading statement next week, which is going to be pretty significant as well. And VectorVest has put out a note this week just saying it sees significant upside potential. Stock isn't without risk, but the company has also made significant progress on restructuring its debt. And the statement next week, it expects, will be a key trigger event for the share price. Now, from a technical standpoint, it's trying to break out of an inverted head and shoulders reversal. And if it does that, the target from the pattern should take the shares well over a pound, as high as £1.10. So clearly, you know, do your own research on this. But there's a good article on the VectorVest website that that will explain that in more detail.
Yeah, I'm relatively bullish on oil at the moment. You know, I just do think we're going to get some, you know, a sort of the balance coming back into equilibrium, the supply demand deficit there because of the OPEC deal. And like I said, so much has been pulled out of infrastructure investment, as I said earlier on the podcast. But I mean, you know, almost $1 trillion by the majors. So you can't bring these, you know, these things back online, these exploration, you know, projects back online overnight. It takes years and years. So I think we're going to see a structural deficit here in supply over the next few years. And I think we should have that in conjunction with the OPEC deal. Well, I think see oil rising, you know, so I think it's quite good for oil companies. But obviously, you know, it's a sheer picker's market there. You've got to pick the right ones.
You've got to pick the right ones.
Yeah, because exactly, a good company can be run badly, you know. So, pick the right ones. Anything else, Al?
We're still on oil. This is one that we've spoken about beforehand, Justin. It's Angus Energy, ANGS. Now, Angus, of course, newly floated, raised $3.5 million at just over 6p in October, November last year. And the stock's done very well since then. It's popped up as high as 13, just over 13p. It's currently trading at 11p. What's interesting about Angus, and unlike a lot of small caps, that it's invested, an oil investment company, it's invested into two UK oil fields. And of course, this is the Brockham oil field, where it's recently increased its stake from 55% to 65%, and the Lidsey oil field. And the company is expecting net production by the end of this year of 150 barrels of oil per day. So it's a tiddler in comparison to Premier Oil or other mid-cap producers. But nonetheless, it's unusual to find a small oil company actually engaged and seeing production and revenue from production straight away. And this is very significant. Also, these fields are sort of down in my neck of the woods in Sussex. And there's been talk for many years about the potential of the oil fields across the Sussex Weald and others. But obviously, with the news on the fracking developments last year and the other oil fields, I think the potential is now being realised. And obviously, as we said just now, with the increase in the oil price and the moves by OPEC, when there's more focus on and it's more, there is more opportunity, if you like, to extract oil from the from these fields. So Angus is expecting to make it reported a profit of just over 100,000 this year versus a loss of 2 million last year. So trickling along. We've got a market cap of just under 24 million currently. So really, there's an awful lot of potential and upside here. And I think it's this could very much be a jewel in the crown. We see a lot of little oil exploration companies floating in there, and it's very much a situation of jam tomorrow. With Angus, they're actually producing already. The oil is coming out of the ground, and there's revenue going straight into the coffers. So it's an attractive proposition.
Yeah, well, do you know, I know Angus relatively well. I've had a couple of brokers on, and I've had Paul Vonk as well from Angus on. And why I like the story of Angus is that they not only have these producing assets, a producing license, which the Horse Hill guys don't have down there, but they also drilled a Horse Hill, which hit national paper headlines a couple of years back. So they know, and they're at their Brockham field, which is 5 miles away from Horse Hill area. They have the same kind of geology below that. They're also drilling into that exploration there to see if they can, and they've done early tests on the maturity of the rock there, and it looks even better than Horse Hills. So there's a potential, apart from bringing online and producing Lindsay and Brockham, which will give them, I think, in total, I think about 400 barrels a day. So they've got near-term cash generated here, plus they've got the $3.5 million they raised in the placing. Plus, they have this chance to drill this Kimmeridge limestone, which could be, a huge upside, And if they do come, if that does come through, then this will re-rate. There's no doubt about this. Like I say, 26 million market capital re-rate, because I think it was Horse Hill, wasn't it? It's only a short flow test. I know that there's like 1,600 barrels a day that they think so. It may not be that high, but, even if they get another 500 barrels a day, that's doubling what they have already. So you can see the potential there.
And I think also the higher the oil price goes, a lot of these smaller projects, which hitherto might have been considered uneconomical to pursue and drill, will now be reconsidered. And clearly, these projects probably fall into that category. But I think Angus is in at a very exciting juncture. And as you say, it could well be in line for a very significant re-rating in the not too distant future.
And also, what's also interesting is that they, because they have the only production license, right? They can drill, if they want, at the request of the Horse Hill group, of course. They could drill assets in Horse Hill if they wanted to, and produce from there. So they are the gatekeeper to the Weald Basin, pretty much in regards to production. They're a very interesting little company worth putting on your watch list, I think. And I've written a couple of blogs about them, and definitely a compelling little story there. A marvelous, Al. Well, nice to chat to you in the new year, and hopefully by next week you'll shaken off that cold, fella.
Thanks, mate. I hope so. I'm going to carry on taking the night nurse, so there we go.
Oh, yes. Why not? All right. Cheers, Al.
Cheers, Jess. Bye.
All right. It's time for one for your watch list. This is suggested by a listener to the podcast. Thank you very much, Tid83, for getting involved. The stock is Savannah Petroleum. SAVP is a ticker. So what does the company do? It's an all exploration of the R1, R2 and R3, R4 areas in the Agadir Rift in southeast Niger. I don't know if I've pronounced that right, but listen, do your research, please. So how many shares does the company have in issue? 274 million. What's current price and market cap? 28 pence, 76 million market cap. What revenue, profit, loss does the company generate? For the 6 months ended the 30th of June 2016, they made a loss of $4.2 million. How much cash or debt does the company have? $40 million. Dollars from a recent oversubscribed premium placing at 38 pence. What's the sale price now? 28 pence. Very interesting. Always interesting when you see that. Also, 11.4 million revolving loan facility in place available for full drawdown. List three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. Number one, huge amount of 2D, 3D seismic completed, identifying multiple low risk, high chance success targets. Up to 2.2 billion barrels recoverable. That's a big asset. Now, number two, drilling contracts to be signed January 2017 with initial three-well project kicking off in Q1 with potential for a farm-in partner announced prior to drilling. And reason three, very low CapEx and OPEX, and institutions and directors hold 65% of share issue. Three good reasons here. Very well researched. Thank you very much. And like I said, this is just a platform for information. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. But if you want to look up further research, then type in the ticker SAVP. It's Savannah Petroleum. Thanks very much for getting involved. Like I said, if you know of a stock that you think has potential and you want to share it with thousands of people who listen to the podcast, then please go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog and click one of my posts there. And you'll see a link at the bottom that says, do you know of a stock that you think should be on people's watch lists? Please click here to fill in the form, and I could be featuring it on a future podcast. All right, it's time for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website and app in the last 24 hours. At five, YOLO, leisure and technology, that's YOLO. At four, Ascent Resources, AST. At three, Sirius Mineral. Sirius? Yeah, I'm Sirius. Sirius Minerals, SXX. At two, Big Sofa Technology, BST. Very popular stock, only recently floated, but appeared in this list twice now. And at number one, of course, there's no guesses, prizes, or points for guessing. It's EVR Holdings. Anthony on the podcast yesterday did an amazing job of answering private investor questions and give a lot of confidence to, I think, shareholders and also encourage probably new shareholders to come on board because, you know, VR is a very hot sector and who knows where this story could end. But they've certainly got some, you know, impressive connections and agreements with big companies, you know, including Telefonica and Warner Music. And I think they've got, I think, reading on the earlier RNS, I think it was another major record label, but they haven't named that. So, but they're not, like Andy said, they're not limited to, you know, Warner Music artists, so they can sign, they can do a deal with anyone, pretty much. Okay, top five most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets website this morning were, at five, Optibiotics, it's Opti, appointment of commercial director. At four, Gfinity, Gfin, appointment of partner for COD World League Events. They're doing very well. They're signing a lot of deals recently. At three, Sigma Rock, SRC, admission of first day dealings. At two, Sound Energy, that's SOU, Badil update and rig mobilization. And number one, the most liked RNS this morning, was from Metal Tiger, MTR, appointment of technical director. That's it for the podcast today. Thank you very much for listening. Please share it with someone if you know who would like to be into investing and stuff. And by all means, get involved with the podcast by suggesting a stock in one for your watch list. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciado.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.